Dear ones, for this evening, I desire that we read together from the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. The Gospel of John, chapter number 1. I desire to read the first 18 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared him. May God bless our reading. Let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. Dear ones, throughout the prayer was mentioned a few times of that we would manifest, make known, make visible the fruit that Jesus is asking us to bear, which is the fruit of the Spirit. And we know what the fruit of the Spirit is, dear ones. And so we're being called to abide in the vine and bear fruit. And the Word tells us also that we will be known by the fruit that we bear. And so considering that and considering this portion of Scripture that we have read, speaking about the Word being made flesh, speaking of God, speaking of a beginning that has no beginning, it requires a faith to believe this. And so when we think about faith, we have to ask ourselves, what is my faith? And what does that faith produce? What does it bring about? Is that faith, as we have read, that this believing in Him produces, or God gives a power to become His sons or daughters? And so when we ask our faith, actually, the Scripture tells us to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. And so if we just look at that passage of Scripture that the Apostle Paul is urging us, who is he urging to consider, to examine ourselves? Does a non-believer ever examine himself? He doesn't. And so the only ones who examine themselves are believers. And so he says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. And so, when was the last time we've examined ourselves? Because only the Only those who believe are the ones who examine. The ones who don't believe, they don't examine. And so are we examining ourselves whether we are in the faith? And so what is the definition of being in the faith? Examine yourself. What does it mean to examine my statement that I believe in God? Is that my faith? So examining myself, I need to see something. And that something that I need to see is what will determine whether I am in the faith. And so when we say we have assurance that we are in Christ, Apostle Paul described a blessed assurance that he was, that Christ was in him. He explained what he knew. And so is it wrong for us at any time to wonder, am I saved? Well, that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Go and examine yourself to see whether the life that you're living is a life that is in the faith that proclaims Jesus Christ as your Lord, who, when you name and call upon that name, the name above all names, that you are to depart from iniquity. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to examine ourselves. How often? How often should we examine ourselves? Once a year? During communion? Once every few years, when a catastrophe happens, the brother also mentioned in the prayer something, if we think about it, said, humble ourselves, that God would humble us. Now, you know what that means? When we're asking God to humble us, that's saying a lot. Because we're asking God to humble me where there's any pride that has risen within me. You can't humble me. God can. And so how is he going to choose to humble me if I am proud, if I have not examined myself, and yet I'm asking him to humble me? Do I really mean that when I say, Lord, humble me? Because I know if without him humbling me, I will never see eternity with him. Because he despises the proud. He despises the proud. So where has my pride ever risen? Has it ever, boom, elevated a little bit? Is it in my possession? Well, now I've just asked God to humble me. So what does that mean? What if he wipes out my possessions completely? I have nothing now. I'm a beggar now. Are we going to be happy with that? Are we going to be saying, thank you, Lord, because you've humbled me, and I am closer to you now? Because when we're asking God to humble us, we have to examine ourselves to see where we have become proud. And you can't see that unless you compare. You and I, if we don't compare ourselves to the light of the Word, who is Christ himself, we have to look at him to see if there's any pride within me. And for God to break that pride within me, it might break my life completely. He may break my life completely down. Everything that I strive for, want, yearn for, build up. If that is in me, and now I have something and I'm looking around, look at me. I'm not going to say it, but I'm kind of spinning around in that manner. If I don't see that, and God chooses to humble me, because I've asked him to humble me too, or do I really mean it? But see, God wants to save all of his creation. He wants to save us all. And so whatever God does, whatever means he uses to break me, and that pride that is within me, I can only be thankful for that when I am in him and realize his work that he did in time to save me. Only a spiritual man can understand that, who is brought to Christ to see who he is And then be thankful for that. John here speaks of a beginning that there was no beginning. But he said in the beginning was the Word, with a capital W. And the Word was with God. And the Word, so the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the beginning was the Word. He is in existence. And He is with God, and He is God. And He is the Word. And he said, the same who is the Word, He was in the beginning with God. And that's something that right there, we have to have faith. Because that doesn't, to speak of a beginning where there is no beginning, John only uses this word here because there's nothing else that can be said to a finite man. All things were made by Him. All things. And so when we think about all things are made by Him, without Him was not anything made that was made. God is visible through everything that is created. It's His creation. That glorifies God, His creation. He created it. It says nothing that was made. There's anything that was made that wasn't made by Him. So that means that everything that was made by Him and everything that would be made with those things that He made is still made by Him. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So, dear ones, The world is in darkness. And we know in Proverbs it tells us that it says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man is the candle or the light or the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts, searching everything. The spirit of man. And we know that the spirit of man is the life that God breathed into each one. And that spirit goes back to God, of every man born. And so every man in Him has life, and that life is light. To know right from wrong. Every man knows that. He has been given that to every man. The spirit of man, that means every man that is alive, has the candle of the Lord, a lamp, a light, to know what is right or wrong. Now, what you and I do with that light of knowing what is right is wrong and what is wrong is what will determine the life that I live. I will reject it and plunge myself into darkness, or I will obey the light in the direction that the light is leading me to. The direction is the light. The direction of the light is to the light itself, Himself, which is Christ our Lord. And so it says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness could not extinguish the light. It can't. And we know that every time you turn on a light, the darkness flees. It's gone. But it's only in the spiritual realm that the darkness and light can coexist side by side, because it's here in the world. There's light everywhere. There's light everywhere. But it says man chooses to live in darkness. So how can the light be here, but we're choosing to live in darkness? Because the darkness is not comprehending it. Man loves darkness rather than light. And so he flees to that where there's darkness. And that all of darkness is the realm, Satan's realm. Wherever he is darkness. Wherever Christ is light. And so those are the paths that we choose to walk in. Those are the paths, the directions that we choose to take. Is it a path of darkness? Wherever there is darkness, that is Satan's place. So consider now, as Apostle Paul tells us, examine your life. Examine yourself. Are you in the light? Are you in the faith? Because the faith is in the light. And in the light is with Christ. Am I with Christ? Okay? Yes. How? Well, I said I believe him. Okay? And what does that produce? What did that produce? So Paul says, examine yourselves. Are you bearing fruit? Because Christ is looking for the fruit. We read in John chapter 15 how we are pruned, and those things which are dead, they can't stay. They have to be cut off so that we produce more fruit, and so on. So it's a tremendous statement. Verse 1, verse 14 also, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So he pitched his tent. Because Paul says that, he says that the flesh is a tabernacle in which we reside in. So Jesus pitched his tent, came in the flesh to be with man, the Word, which was God, it says in the first verse. And the Word was made flesh, God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's really a duplicate of verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it said, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. So we just spoke of, or John just spoke of the creation. Everything that is seen, that was created, nothing that was created that is seen wasn't created by him. It was all created by him. So now he says, but he came to declare the Father. How? Because the declaration of God is in everything that you see. No. He says, he is who is in the bosom of the Father. He had come to declare him. He came in the bosom, the heart of God. Jesus came to declare or to show us the heart of God. That can only be seen. Because we don't know the heart of God when we look at. We see his knowledge. We see his wisdom. We see his creativity, or however we want to call it. We see that. But we don't see the heart of God until we look at the Lord Jesus. He came to declare him. And who is he to us? Are we loving the darkness? It says John, there's a man, he was sent from God, whose name was John. This same John is the cousin of the Lord Jesus. But he was sent. He said he came as a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so, dear ones, as John the Baptist came to bear witness of the light, he wasn't that light. And yet Jesus tells us, you are the light. It's just as the moon. The moon has no light in and of itself. But it gives light because it reflects the light of the sun. And so it lights up the night. And so, dear ones, we are also to bear witness, to be the light, not of our own self. There's nothing you and I can do to light up anything. We are pitiful, miserable, without God. But with Him, we reflect the light of the sun. The Son, the only begotten Son, Jesus. And He says, He was in the world was made by Him, the world knew Him not. Do I know Him? Do you know Him? He created the world, came into the world to show us His Father's heart, how much His love is for you and me, that He gave Himself for us. He died for us, to save us. The Bible tells us in Matthew, it says, He came to save us from our sin. From our sin. Think about, what does that mean then? Does that mean, if I'm being attacked by a bear, and you're going to save me from the bear, that means me and the bear got nothing to do with each other no more. You saved me from that bear. I'm not going to go after that bear again to tangle with him. You saved me from the bear. So sin is the same thing. He didn't save me in my sin. He saved me from sin. So that's not for me to go back and chase after it. I'm not to go back it. After sin. And say, oh, I got faith. I got faith. I believe. Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves. Are you in the faith? What do you see? I see a declaration. Peter had one too. And he couldn't have made that without God. He made the declaration that Jesus is Lord. But he still denied him. And so, dear ones, I believe it's in it says, Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. So he's offered once to bear the sins of many. We have an ambulance pulled in here. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So, if Christ was offered to bear the sins of many one time, and so unto them that look for him, he will appear. So, am I in the faith? Am I in the faith? How will I know? Am I looking for his appearing? Because he's going to appear the second time to those that look for him without sin unto salvation. What a blessed thought. So am I so attached to this life that this is everything for me, that I don't want to depart? I don't want no part of death because I'm so attached and attracted to what is in this world and in this life. Is this what it's all about? I'm not looking for him. So if I'm not looking for him, how can I say that my faith in him has saved me from my sin? He gives the power. He says, it said, as many as, so it's a three-part thing here. As many as received him. So it is up to you and me to receive him. And when we receive him, where does it say? Is to them, He gives power. He gives power to become the sons of God. So he empowers to become the son. You and I cannot become his child without him. It said, to them that believe on his name. To them that believe on his name, he empowers. What kind of a power? To do whatever he wants? No, to overcome sin. And that is how we become his sons, when sin isn't that what we want. And so, dear ones, as we consider this word, have we received his fullness of his fullness? Have all we received in grace for grace? My life has to show that I am full of Jesus Christ. Full. He is my life. He is my all. I look for his appearing. I look forward to that day when he will return. If I don't, then there's something more attractive to me than him. And I don't want to depart from it. Because I want to experience more of what the world, of what darkness has to offer. I'd rather be wandering in the darkness than be guided by the light. And so, dear ones, as we have looked into this word tonight, we really need to just reflect on who God is, his power, his omnipotence, am I a reflection of who he is? He came to show us his heart. He came to show us his heart. Do you want him? Or do you look at what Satan is showing? Because Jesus just shows us his heart, a heart of love. He shows us with his creation, his power, and his might. But he came to show us what his heart is towards his creation. It is only humankind that can reason, that can think about who God is. No other creation. Nothing else in his creation can think of who he is. But man can. And we can consider who he is. He's given us that ability because he showed us who he is. He showed us who he was. He doesn't show me wealth and the pleasures of sin. He shows me a heart that loves me, that cares for me, that has taken my sin away so that I can be brought back. We see Adam and Eve in the garden communing with God, communing with him. It's only man that can do that. Do you want to commune with God? Do you want to? And so the choices are being given. Every day we make them. And that's what God gives us, something that he will never violate, and that is our free will. He'll never violate it and never make us do that which we don't want to do. And we can read in Ecclesiastes, go ahead, do whatever you want. Whatever makes your heart happy, do it. But know that one day you will give an answer to that, for that. And so, dear ones, let us, with prayerful hearts, consider our heart, our life, examine it, to see whether I be in the faith. Am I longing for the return of the Lord Jesus? If he came today, would it delight me? What is, because according to Christ, many, many, many think that they are in the faith and are not. I'm a Christian. Christ says, no, you're not. So may God bless his word upon each of our hearts this evening, dear ones, and may it bring about within us a longing, a desire to look into Christ and who he is, and as he reveals himself throughout the pages of scriptures. Everywhere we see the meekest of men, so that we dare not elevate our own self up to be better and higher and mightier and better known than our master. Only he can give us a heart, or he can break that within us to give us a heart that has been cleansed by his blood, washed pure, so that we can reflect the light of Jesus Christ. Amen.